This evening in our gospel text, we're in a courtroom drama. And the courtroom drama on TV nowadays is a very popular setting. We like to watch the schemes of people working in these different ways. We like the mysteries. We like to see good guys act kind of bad. We like to see bad guys have some good to them. The courtroom drama is a very popular genre of TV show nowadays, and I think that's the reason, because it's gritty, because we get all sorts of gritty details from these shows. Luke's account of Christ's trial is very gritty. We get lots of gritty details, and we have four main characters, or at least four groups of characters, that we get different aspects about, and we see different aspects of fallen humanity taking place in this courtroom drama, this trial of Christ. There's a lot of scheming and plotting going on. It starts, of course, with the chief priests, the teachers of the law of Moses. They haven't liked Jesus for a long time. They've been fighting him constantly throughout the Gospels. And as it gets closer to this passage that we read tonight, we hear again and again that they were trying to find a way to get Jesus, to put him to death, to silence this troublemaker. And so they bring accusations against him. One of them is actually true. They claim that he is the Son of God, and he doesn't have an argument for that. He is, of course, the Son of God. To them, though, that is a blasphemous thing. But then they also falsely accuse him of some things that Jesus has had nothing to do with. And verses 1 and 2 of chapter 23 says, "Everyone in the council got up and led Jesus off to Pilate. They, the chief priests, accused him and said, 'We caught this man trying to get our people to riot and to stop paying taxes to the emperor.'" False accusations. That's one of the things you see the most in a courtroom drama. And the chief priests bring it right to Christ. He's bringing riots. He's neglecting taxes. They want him dead at any cost. Like the chief priests, we also can be accusing, falsely so. And I think when we bring accusations against other people, what we're often doing is we're hiding our own faults. We know that we have our faults, so let's expose the faults of others first. Let's turn the attention away from ourselves, put it on someone else. Another character we have in this courtroom drama is Herod. We've met Herod before in the Gospels. He's the one that calls for the head of John the Baptist. Herod here has longed to meet Jesus. He's been waiting to meet him. He's heard of him doing miracles, and he wants to see Jesus do some miracles in front of him. So he's excited when the chief priests bring him to Herod. To him, Jesus is a circus act, a sideshow, someone that can serve his own purposes, serve his own desires. Pilate, or Herod, wants to bend his will, the will of Christ, to Herod's own will. In the end, Herod ends up mocking Christ. We too can be like this. We can be like Herod as well. Well, we like to think of God as Christ as someone that we can manipulate. The Lord should serve us. The Lord should do what our will wills. And when we find that things don't go our way, often we resort also to mocking. Not joking, but the kind that has a little edge of malice to it. Another group we see in this trial is we see the crowd. The crowd is really fickle. We'll see this on Sunday at worship, how the crowd welcomes Christ into Jerusalem, waving palms around, laying their coats on the ground so that Christ can ride on this donkey as a king riding into Jerusalem. And they say, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And now they shout, "Crucify, crucify, crucify." They don't want Jesus. Instead, they want a man named Barabbas, which is really ironic since the name Barabbas actually means Son of God. They're fickle. At one moment they give praise, at another they become a mob. We too can be like this, praising God at one moment when things are going well, but when we hit a low, we all of a sudden think God must hate us. He must be smiting us. What is God doing? What right does the Lord have to do this to me? Lastly, in this group, in this courtroom trial, we have Pilate. Pilate here desires to do justice, even though it's a half justice. He wants to just let Jesus go with a whipping. He doesn't want to kill him. Three times he tells the people, "I have found no guilt in this man. What has he done? Let me just beat him and send him on his way." But when the crowd shouts, Pilate gives in. And he finds his name in our creed. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, was buried. Pilate is more than fickle. He's appeasing. He has this pretense of justice to him, but he's really only serving himself, watching out for himself, making sure that he's standing in the end. We too are like this. We too can find the easy way out, deny the Lord when it suits us best. It's a whole lot of scheming and plotting, manipulation, drama, grit. But amongst all the scheming, the Lord also has his own scheme in mind. He has his own plot that is unfolding, and all these characters are doing exactly what the Lord has known they would always do. It is because, and precisely because, the people are this way that Christ goes through with it for them. We hear this in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, where we hear Paul say this, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." The scheme, the plot of God is that Christ would go to trial under the hands of sinful men, would be handed over to them, would be subject to their will, to their mockery, to their beating, to their trial, to their crucifixion. But it is God's plan. Because in each one of those people, Christ also sees you and I, people that he needs to die for. It is God's plan, predicted by Scripture. God's plan so that we might be forgiven of our scheming, forgiven of our conniving, forgiven of our false accusations, our fickleness, our mocking, our appeasing nature, our easy way out, that we might be forgiven. And not only be forgiven, but be renewed, restored, given life through the Holy Spirit, that we might live a life that God has planned also for us, to do the works that God has planned for us since before time began, as Ephesians 2:10 tells us. We scheme and we plot. But more importantly, God also schemes and plots. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your eternal plan, the road of salvation that you have been laying and laid from before time began, knowing that your beloved creatures would desperately need your death. We thank you for Christ, who died for us, who followed your will, who followed your way, for a bunch of people who cannot and do not. Forgive us, Lord. Give us your Spirit. Renew us, reshape us, remake us. We pray this in your name. Amen.